coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky.
It's the Valentine Cast with your flirting couple, Jay and Renee Valentine.
Today is Monday, July 30th, 2012.
And this is episode 69. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
And today, again, we'd like to thank Pretty Lights Music for the music that we use for our intro and outro. You can find those guys at prettylightsmusic.com. And today's a special day. Not only is it, you know, episode 69.
Bow chicka bow wow.
We have a special guest with us today. Last week, I told you that we'll have a special surprise. And we have with us today the Tyler Perry of podcasting. the mountain of the giant of Utah.
Giant of Utah. Are you talking about like in popularity or in stature?
Both.
Because he's quite tall.
He is quite both. The man himself. That created podcasting.
Are you going to read the wonderful intro that I wrote?
No, you're going to read that.
Okay.
So Renee's going to read the intro.
I am going to read the intro. For those of you all, which is none of you, who don't know Scott Johnson, Scott is a talented artist who started the popular webcomic Extra Life. He then started a podcast called Extra Life Radio, which he co-hosted with Brian Dunaway and the ever-elusive Obsidian. He continued to grow his podcasting empire and founded Frog Pants Studios, which houses some of our favorite podcasts, including App Slappy, Ladies of Leet, The Shakespeare Sound, and The Morning Stream. Hi, Scott.
Hello. What's going on? What's going on, you two?
Not much,
nothing,
man.
Much.
Just doing our thing on a Monday. You know how.
I know how it goes. thanks for having me on. You're two of my favorite people I only get to see about once a year, but it's a honor and or privilege to be on here. Yeah. I don't know about what'd you call me, Jay. It was like
the Tyler Perry of podcast.
That is just crazy talk, because Tyler Perry, that guy could he could have us all killed. He's so big now.
Well, here's the thing. So I tweeted a while back and said, when y'all had a conversation about Tyler Perry, about how you're the Tyler Perry of podcast. And I never got a chance to explain what I meant. And I think Brian Ibbett actually caught on to it, to what I was saying.
I think I totally get what you're meaning.
Right. So,
and I think it's great. I think it's actually it's a compliment.
Right. So
that you would say such a thing.
If you didn't know the whole history of Tyler Perry, I mean, at one point, this guy was homeless before he wrote his first play. And then he wrote his first play while he was living out of his car.
Yeesh.
And it was, and then he, you know, he, a lot of people loved him in down there in Atlanta. Part of the, I think they call it the Chitlin Play Network.
Yeah.
Is that what he called it?
No, I think it's the name of the black theaters and South.
Gotcha.
Called the Chitlin Network. And they all, he got on there and became a favorite with his stereotypical, not Emmy quality type movie.
Not Emmy. Definitely. But he knows his audience.
Right.
You can say that about him.
Right. He knows his audience. And
he knows what his audience will watch. So.
Yep. And, you know, that was one of the things that I meant. I mean, because you have a huge following. There are a lot of people out here that love you, and your work has touched their lives just as much as his work has touched other people's lives. So,
well, I can tell you, it's an interesting thing to say, because it's the most important part of all of this. Like, I know I said this a bunch when I stood up on, at Nerdtacular and sort of talked about the same sort of thing, but it is ever crucial to what I'm trying to do. The community and my ability to interact with them, I believe, is just paramount over everything else.
Right.
And it scares off some people, because some people want just a place to come, be anonymous, and get obnoxious, and not have to, not really have to show their face. And
right.
We have a community where people, they're not forced to do anything. They can leave if they want to, but it's a place where they're happy to get to know real flesh and blood people. Those barriers just don't exist in the Frog Pants community. And as much as I'd love to take credit for that, I think that mostly speaks volumes about the kinds of people that follow me and the kinds of people that listen.
Right.
Maybe I spark that initially, but really they carry it on. And it's just a fantastic group of people. I cannot imagine it any other way.
Right. And I know one of the things that, you know, I think I can say this before everybody else. And, you know, the simple stuff of like eating the 6 tacos, you know what I'm saying? Out in the parking lot. I mean,
Everybody was like, I've been there.
Everybody's been there. Like, I mean, been there. You, there's nothing, you bring some realness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's maybe a better term for it is I'm willing to expose my real life in a way that is, I've been told anyway, that people find that refreshing because usually, and this is true on the web, it's true in traditional media, usually people are very guarded, they're very careful. But I figure if I'm really going to ask people for their actual dedication to the work I do and actually expect them to support it and be there for it and participate in it, I feel like I owe it to them to be the thing that I am.
Right.
And it also just lays it out and says, all right, here you go. Your choice is clear. Either you like this or you don't.
Right.
And there's really no gray area. There's no mystery. I just am who I am. And part of that for me is not being afraid to, you know, I mean, how is it with family or real friends that you have? Well, you tell them stuff that you wouldn't tell other people.
Right.
Well, it may seem weird, but that's how I see the community. I see them as a group of people that I am not afraid to tell that I had 6 tacos in a car.
Right.
Or that I, you know, any number of horribly embarrassing stories that I've told.
Right.
On TMS or ELR or any number of shows. And that's just kind of the way I like it. And therefore, I feel like that's working and good, because to me, it's a win-win. I don't have to fake that. And people, you know, people don't have to try to always wonder, well, what's he really saying? What's his real motivation?
Right.
Well, no, my motivation is I don't want to eat 6 tacos in a parking lot again if I can help it. You know, like that's just, it seems small and dumb, but it probably is illustrative of everything I'm doing.
Well, I mean, you were fine. I mean, were they hard? I can't remember, were they hard shell or soft shell?
No, they were soft, because that's the only way I roll. If I'm doing Taco Bell, it's soft shell all the way.
So if it was soft shell, that's what, $2.20 per taco?
Yeah, yeah. And look at this, dude. Well, no, I think they were less. They were like $1.75.
No. Talk about calories.
Calories. Oh,
yeah. We've been counting calories.
No, you guys are doing great. You guys are inspiring the crap out of me with with all your weight loss and your freaking, you know, doing your lose it stuff and everything. And I'm thinking, man, I'm probably the one that told them about Lose It on AppSlappy, and I'm not using it as good as they are. Like, I'm a little embarrassed by it, so I got to get back on the stick.
God, it's like a game. It's like, okay, I have to log in all the time, and I got to be under budget. It's like a game.
And if I don't get my stuff in on time, which I don't think I did, here at 7 o'clock, it'll say, you didn't log your dinner today.
It's naggy. It's like a naggy wife.
I'm like, oh, it is really? Naggy, come on now.
Yeah, it's pretty good that way. Kim's that way with her fit or her what do you call it? Her Nike Fuel Band.
Oh,
and just drives her to get her points, dude. And that's good.
And the Fitbit, you can sync it up with Lose It.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, I need to. The nice thing about the Fitbit thing's nice because it's a really good, accurate tracker of steps and stairs and calories burned and miles walked and all this sort of stuff. But it's kind of lousy at the food management part of it. And not that the Nike one does that either. It doesn't, but it's the one piece of the puzzle that's a little bit more manual, a little more frustrating. I just need to plug it into the app, and it's not the only one. They've got APIs and a bunch of apps that, you know, that support that. So basically you can do your food bit, your tracking stuff and your goals stuff and have that, you know, have that data right there along with, well, I did 12 flights of stairs today, or I did this many miles, and I think form better goals that way. So yeah, it's a cool combination. I think it's super cool. You're doing that, and I'm watching your status on Twitter, and that's awesome to see.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yep.
Hey Jay, I want to talk about what happened this weekend.
All right, let's get on into the wicked weekend wrap up.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I have not been able to talk about this for at least 2 or 3 months, and I've been dying.
Okay, so what we're about to talk about that we did this weekend has been going on since right before Christmas.
Okay, so last year my sisters and I decided to put a surprise anniversary party for my parents because it was their 40th anniversary.
Oh, this huge week. Congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but they actually listened to the podcast. We couldn't talk about it on here and I was dying to talk about it. Yeah. So we've been making plans for the past 6 months. You know, we rented out a lodge. We got catering. Jay was the DJ. He had a big sound system. Yep. And I mean, we invited all of their friends. It was about 50 people. And her brother came in from out of town.
Right.
It's like, so they thought they were going to some fancy dinner with the family. And we had my older sister who flew in from out of town bring them.
And we interviewed some of their friends.
Oh, yeah.
For a video.
Yeah,
that,
they actually made a video.
That I edited. So we did like, you know, when did you first meet them? How did they influence you and stuff like that? And then we interviewed ourselves.
Yeah. And the kids were on there because I have 3 sisters and my brother-in-law and Jay were on there. And right. So when they walked in, my mom about fell on the floor. And it was like the most like fantastic feeling. They're seeing their happiness. I mean, and they've been happily married for 40 years.
You know, it's a more rare freaking thing to see that happen. And they're bucking the trend and that's totally awesome. Kim and I are about to hit 20.
So oh, we're only halfway there, but
that seems crazy even to say that, but we're about to hit this milestone, and I still feel like the dumb 23-year-old that got married all that time ago. But in the end, I feel like we're a dying breed. People that really stick it out and, you know, stay together to the end is real rough. 40 years is a huge milestone. That's totally awesome.
Yeah. And it's so funny. Like, Jay and I are about to celebrate 3 years, and it seems like we just got married. Yeah. So, but I mean, I know people who don't want to go home. Who talk bad about their wife and she's now, I'm like, you're supposed to love being married.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Like so. They want to stay at work and they want, you know, they want to find that reason where they can leave the house.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to be able to quite understand that. And I'm not here to judge anybody for who maybe feels that way because maybe I just don't get it, but that seems real foreign. Like I can't, my goal and everything I'm doing and all this Frog Pants stuff is great and all, but in the end, it's really just about, well, how much time did it afford me to spend with my kids or my wife or
right.
or whatever? And, you know, we're taking a trip to Vegas next week and it's really kind of for business stuff, but I'm taking Kim and one of my kids and we're going to turn it into more than that. And, you know, those opportunities don't, you know, it goes fast. So get them while you can get them. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And I was one of those guys, you know, a few years, you know, several years back in my first marriage, you know, where I was like, you know, it was rough. You know, I can speak to that and just say it was rough and it wasn't a good feeling. And you kind of get to one of those points where you like, you know, do I stay for the kids or, you know, and then you look at your kids and it wasn't, we weren't like, like Renee's mom and dad and like Renee and I are now where they refuse to have an argument in front of their kids.
Right.
You know, and it got to a point where, you know, the kids were seeing it and the kids were saying
they weren't
happy.
My parents never ever fought until I got older and realized, well, of course they fought. They just didn't fight in front of us.
Right.
So,
you know, and it was, and with that, it wasn't just, threw my hands up and gave away, but it was, you know, 3 to 4 years of counseling. You know, 2 years of couple canceling on my own. And it was just rough. But I mean, like you said, it is a dying breed. And, you know, if, you know, I had used my head as I look back, you know, hindsight's 2020, some of the choices I made, you know, I wouldn't have made, you know.
No, it's easy to say now, but it's funny because like when we got married, I thought I was making the biggest mistake ever. I thought I was supposed to live in a loft apartment downtown making paintings all day and I was supposed to live like some kind of weird hippie in the city and this isn't what I planned on, this is too early, blah blah blah. And I remember this very sort of important moment. I may have mentioned this on a show before, but this moment where Kim was at work, she was working here in town, she's from Mississippi but she'd moved up here to go to school, and I called her And I said, this is like 3 weeks before the wedding.
I think I remember this.
Yeah,
after
but
a 9 month vacation or vacation, engagement. Call that a vacation. And I called her and I said, I don't know if I can do this. I think I don't know if this is for me. I don't think I can do it. I just got cold feet is what I did. And she says, fine, gotta go, and hung up. And I went, oh crap. Like, I can't leave it like this. Like, I have just made a horrible error. That was the day I knew that if I didn't marry her, I was making a major mistake. Because nobody, I needed somebody who could do that to me. Who could say, I need you, but I don't need you. Like, don't go to a place where I think I'm man of the house, freaking everything I say goes kind of crap, you know. If you want a strong, independent, smart girl, then you're going to have to be worthy of it, basically.
Right.
And I remember just thinking, oh my gosh, I'm dead. I can't believe I did this. And she went out, dated some other dude. She was like, you know what? Screw him. I mean, of course it hurt and she was having a hard time inside, but she wasn't going to make it stop her life.
Right.
And I basically kind of got back to her and said, no, please, I totally screwed up. Please, we still get married. But even then, you know, I was terrified when we decided to have our first kid. Terrified. I'm like, how can I raise a kid? What if he's a douchebag? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, you always have these feelings.
Yeah.
And you always will. There'll always be some new challenge or whatever. But I am to the point now where I'm so glad that team's there. And when I see you two together and I see how happy you guys are,
yeah,
it's awesome. You know, it's awesome. Yeah. So sure, I mean, second time's a time for or charm for Jay, but that's all right. You got there. You found the one.
Nowhere. Right. Yeah.
So live it up, man. You guys are awesome. Yep. Keep going.
All right. And then, are you done with the anniversary stuff?
Yeah, I'm done. I was just really happy.
Sorry,
I
derailed yourself.
No. I was getting ready to jump to the next one.
We do that all the time. We start talking about one thing and end up somewhere else.
Dude, this is to just, I guess, I should have done this like I do with every show, just to our guests. This is just a conversation. This is sitting at dinner.
Chat.
And talking, so feel free to jump in.
With a loose list.
I'm not, we have a loose list just so we won't ramble on.
Sounds like every show I do, so I'm in good company.
Hey, you know,
something bad happened this weekend.
So yesterday morning, I woke up and I checked my phone to see. So I woke up, checked my email on my phone. And all of a sudden, it goes through and it's on my Wi-Fi. It goes through and I don't get any new email. I was like, that's odd. I usually get a Living Social or a Groupon or a Amazon email. And I get up. Well, I turn my Wi-Fi off and then I get on 3G. And all of a sudden, I'm getting email. I'm like, oh, what is going on? So I immediately say, it's my fault because I took my PC to go DJ. And I run the OpenDNS software on my PC. And I thought I messed up our DNS server. But look, it wasn't. Our cable went out and our internet.
Okay, so I don't care about the cable as much as the internet.
Me too.
Because I was like, oh, we have the internet. I was like, okay. So I had to play an offline game. And I'll talk about what I played later. But so and I have my Kindle and we have,
So, that's rough. I mean, especially like all my games.
First world problems.
That's the first time in like 3 years since our cable went out like that.
Yeah.
And, but it did give me time because we, in early July, there was a wedding that we recorded, videotaped for a friend of ours. And it gave me time to edit that video because, this is the first time I actually did two cameras for like a wedding video. And I had like all the cutscenes, you know, the cuts from, you know, from sitting out in the audience to almost like the pastor's view. So it was pretty cool. I finished that yesterday. So they'll be picking that up tomorrow. So
yeah.
There's been plenty of times where I thought about being like you, Scott, and having a backup internet, you know?
Yeah, it's like we had a few reasons. The main reason was we pulled the plug on TV so many years ago that our TV is what we get through the internet. So the kids want to watch something, it's on Netflix or Hulu or whatever.
Right.
And so, but I had to keep, you know, full production access for shows and stuff. And I thought, well, all right, let's get two ISPs, one that they'll use all the time.
Right.
But it will act as an immediate backup if my main ISP goes down, I can just plug in, turn off Wi-Fi access to that thing so nobody in the house can get to it while I need it. And then, you know, I've got a backup plan. And that's worked out pretty good. Mm-hmm. Some people have said, well, geez, now you're just paying double. You may as well still have cable.
No.
But I still, it's not even so much about, I mean, like, we did save a bunch of money by unplugging, but the main thing for me was, that this is how I prefer to get my stuff, period.
Right.
It isn't just that, oh, it's a different way or it's the same thing just on a different connection. It's not. It's like, it's a different kind of lifestyle. And you guys are right. When that stuff goes down, like I had a 2-day period where both ISPs were down and it was a fluke thing with some fiber and some stuff. But
right.
That day was the weirdest day. Like I'd forgotten how much I had become reliant for not just this piece of work or that piece of work or this one show or to watch a movie even. It was everything I do was disrupted. And you forget how many things are connected that way.
Wow.
And yeah. That was a weird day, man. I was not prepared for that.
Yeah. All right. And before we hop into tech, Scott.
Tech Scott.
Uh-huh.
No. Keep going.
I'm a robot.
Oh, sorry. Before we go into tech, we got a little something for you. We have some quiz.
Sweet. I'll do a quiz.
We have a quiz for you. Yeah.
I like quizzes.
So I have some quiz. I have two, actually. Well, no, I probably shouldn't have said that, but I have two.
The answer is two. See, I already got one right.
All right. So this is trivia on Kentucky.
Oh, sweet. If it has to do with Justified, I'm in.
I don't think it has to do with
All right. Let me get the level
you
here.
You have to give your best guess.
All right. Let's see. All right. First question. What major fast food chain has its corporate office in Louisville? And I will have choices for you. And
that's multiple choice. That's easy.
I know. Where did I put the choices?
I guess you kind of need to since he doesn't live here.
Yeah. So the choices are Dairy Queen, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Whataburger, or White Castle.
Oh, crap. I feel like the easy one is KFC, but I don't think that's right. Because there are Utah connections for that.
Okay.
But I don't think their corporate headquarters is here. They do have a big office here. I'm going to say Whataburger.
You should have went with your gut. It's KFC.
It is KFC.
And speaking of that, I got a little fun fact. I used to taste test for them at their corporate headquarters.
Oh, weird.
When I was like 16. When they first brought out their roasted new product, I was like the first one to try it out.
Way to go. Did you try, you weren't around when they did that thing where there was like a bowl of like everything, right?
No. I wasn't doing it then.
So, just to give you a little, the White House, as it's called, is located off Interstate 264 and also holds the secret recipe for the original recipe chicken in a vault.
Whoa.
So, right. I'm going to give you another thing. The Colonel Sanders KFC was here in Kentucky, but the first franchise of Kentucky Fried Chicken is in
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, Utah. I didn't know that. 33rd South. I've been in that building.
Yep. All right.
That's where I got confused because I thought, well, wait, if that franchise opened here.
That was a trick question.
That's why I put it on there.
Yeah, that's a good one. But yes, I've actually eaten at that KFC.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Next question.
Food was gross. Go ahead.
Louisville is the 16th largest city in the United States. True or false?
15th?
16th.
16th. I'm going to say true.
It is true. Since the merger of Louisville City and Jefferson County into Louisville Metro, it has grown considerably with a population of over 256,000.
You still got a crack production up in the hollers? At least that's what I learned from Justified.
Hey, Scott, there's Louisville and the rest of Kentucky. That's how it is.
All right. Wait, where's Lexington then? How far is Lexington?
It's about 45 minutes. But the only thing they're known for is the University of Kentucky, and that's all they have there. That's it.
Okay. Well, and they have Raylan Givens, who fights crime.
Yeah, that too.
Got it.
The tallest mountain in Kentucky is located in Harlan County, near the Virginia border. The town of Lynch is nearby. What is the name of the 4,145-foot summit? Appalachian Mountains, White Mountain, Black Mountain, or Blue Ridge Mountain?
Black Mountain.
Correct. Ding, 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 ding.
I've heard this before. I've heard that one before somewhere. I don't remember where.
That's awesome.
I was listening that day in class, I think.
I would have got that one wrong.
Which river is the northern border of Kentucky? Mississippi River, Tennessee River, Kentucky River, or Ohio River?
Oh, Mississippi.
Ohio.
Ohio.
It runs along most of the Kentucky is the only state to be bordered on three sides by rivers. The Ohio River separates Kentucky from Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana to the north.
And it's nasty. Right. It's like brown all the time.
Is it really? Yeah, gross.
Yep. All right.
We have one here called the Jordan, and it's runs, well, it's not as bad as it used to, but they used to always find like human body parts in it.
Ew.
Yeah. Gross. Totally gross. I think you can like raft it now, but back then it was gross. Nice.
What is the name of the armory installation in Kentucky that is home to the Army Armor Center and the only United States bullion depository? Fort Campbell, Fort Bragg, Kessel Air Force Base, or Fort Knox?
Got to be Knox, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
It is there, Fort Knox.
I've been there tons of times.
You used to be a taster for the Fort Knox. No,
I was in JROTC, and we used to go there all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's like, this gold tastes funny. Send it back.
It's buried under the ground somewhere. We never even got close to it. So.
Oh, really? But there's supposed to be, I don't know what's in there, but it's supposed to be a lot, right? Like.
Yeah, I think they took some of it out because they didn't want it all in one place. So.
All right. Got it. Name a major employer in the city of Louisville. There's FedEx, UPS, McDonald's, or Kroger.
As the biggest?
One of the major employees.
I'm going to say Kroger because I know Kroger's huge that part of the country.
It is UPS.
Kroger is actually Cincinnati.
UPS has a major air hub in Louisville that handles most of the international and overnight shipping. If you ever look at the, when you get your new Apple product and it's overnight, it always stops in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, wow. All right. I think I had something from Louisville come to me once from Apple, now that you mention it.
All right. All right. So to be fair, you did great, and I didn't keep score.
I didn't keep score. I think you got two right out of how many were there?
No, I don't know.
What did I do? I don't know. Oh. I can't even remember.
He probably got four right.
Okay. We're going to say four out of six.
He did well for not knowing.
This time, I'm going to keep score.
All right. Oh, because there's a second one, because we thought you were due so bad that we would give you a Salt Lake City and Utah quiz.
Oh, well, I'll bet I do worse on this one. This will be funny.
All right. First question. What language did the name Utah come from? Navajo, Ute, Cherokee, or Choctaw?
Choctaw. Not Choctaw, because they were back east, southeast of the country. Not Cherokee, because that's more Midwest. I would say that would have been the Ute language.
Yes.
Yay.
Correct.
Yeah. The Ute Indians were big here.
Sam also got that right. All right, Sam.
I do like that Jay called them the Ute.
I did.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that the Ute? Is the Ute?
It's the Ute.
Oh,
yeah.
I would have called them Ute, too.
Okay.
The University of Utah's mascot are the Utes.
I didn't know that. I should look that up.
That makes sense. Yep. Utah. Okay, yep. I get it.
What is the state tree? What is your state tree?
It is the... Oh, is this multiple choice also?
I can give you multiple choice.
Let me think here. I should know this.
Oh, lodgepole pine, blue spruce, white fir, Utah juniper.
Blue spruce.
That is correct.
Yeah, I knew that one, but...
Well, look at you.
I'm glad you read it. Just it confirmed it when I heard it.
Now, this is one I know you know. What is the state insect?
Bee.
It is the bee. Dude, you know when we come into the Nerd Tackling, we always see the exit signs and the road signs? Yep. We always see their big boobs on the state sign.
Yeah, they're like big boobs. I remember because we came in and we didn't know their beehives at first. And we're like, why do they have things like boobs
why
everywhere?
Why are there boobs on the state signs?
The state body part is the boob. No, it's because they call us the industrious state. Everyone's real busy and working all the time. That's the idea. It's like a bunch of bees. Yeah.
Speaking of which, what is Utah's state motto? This is true or false. Is it Utah's state motto is industrial. True or false?
False.
What is it?
I think it's supposed to be...
You get an extra point if you can name it.
Oh, geez. Hold on, I know this.
Bronco knows it because he's in the chat room right now.
Broncos in there?
Yeah.
Damn Canadians are not allowed in these quizzes for U.S. stuff.
Industry.
Industry is in it.
It's
part of the word.
That's it.
Part of the motto. Is it just industry?
It is.
Oh.
That's it. Just industry. That is the shortest motto I've ever heard.
That is.
It's a word is what it is.
That's not a motto.
That ain't a motto. Mottos are like, industry is important. At least you have a sentence or something, right?
Yeah.
Word? Come on.
I love it.
Like, what's Kentucky's?
The bluegrass?
Methamphetamine production.
Kentucky motto. And do you know, as soon as I read it, it's called United We Stand, Divided We Fall.
See, that's a motto.
Yep.
Mine's a word.
Bronco said, remove our mountains. That's West Virginia's Bronco.
Remove our mountains.
How would you refer to a person from Utah?
How would I refer? Oh, a Utahn.
Utahn. I didn't know that.
It sounds like crouton. A Utahn.
It does sound like crouton. It's crouton without the C.
And I think I have one, two. Should I do these?
How many more?
Go ahead. Give me. You got two more. I can do them.
Yeah, here we go. A monument lies near the northeast corner of the city. This is about Salt Lake City. At the mouth of Immigration Canyon, with a quote signifying that, quote, this is the place, unquote. Who was the founder of Salt Lake City that made this utterance?
Brigham Young.
It is correct.
Yep.
I knew that.
Our first governor. And, he came to the valley, looked at it, went, this is the place, and they put down stakes.
This is the place.
Yep.
All right.
This is it. This is the place. It's a nice place. As you know, I'm very fond of it.
Yeah.
This is weird.
What?
Oh, true or false? Salt Lake City was named for the Great Lake, Salt Lake, situated at the northwest side of town and extending up into northern Utah. Is it true or false that the Great Salt Lake is the saltiest lake in the world?
No. The Dead Sea is saltier, I think.
Okay.
But it is a pretty salty lake.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's all, I mean, if you saw it, you guys know the intro to the Knight Rider TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where that dare, and he's like, and the car's riding around on that weird looking, it's almost like it's in space, but it's like flat white.
Right.
Big area with weird white mountains behind it. That is the Salt Flats. That's out right by the lake.
Oh,
that's
nice. Cool.
And that stuff's all, it's all raw mineral salt and crazy.
So don't go out there
and get salt, like, actual salt from that, or
you could, you'd have to refine it. It's nothing you'd want to like sprinkle on your burger or anything, but it's like the raw form of whatever the raw minerals that make up salt. That's what that stuff is.
That's cool.
Sulfur and whatever else. It's really neat out there. It stinks though. Everything smells like a big fart, but
yeah, sulfur does that.
Yeah.
All right. Several world famous ski resorts are within an hour of downtown Salt Lake City, including Park City, Deer Valley, Solitude, and Brighton. The latter two can be found up Big Cottonwood Canyon, which two resorts may be found up Little Cottonwood Canyon.
Is this true or false?
No. Oh,
I probably need to read you the choices. Sundance in the Canyons, Snowbird and Alta, Brian Head and Powder Mountain, Wolf Mountain, and Snow Basin.
So what's... so?
Little... what is it?
Little Cottonwood Canyon. Which two resorts may be found up Little Cottonwood Canyon?
Little Cottonwood is Snowbird... Alta and... what was the other option? Snowbird and Alta?
Yep, Snowbird.
Yeah, that's the one.
Ah, nice.
All right. Spectacular
2013, maybe.
He knows his Salt Lake City.
I do know this stuff. This is all really good.
It's good. Salt Lake City proper has a population of 174,348, according to the 1998 estimate. Which of its neighboring suburbs has the next highest population in the valley as of year 2000? Is it Sandy, West Valley City, West Jordan, or Taylorsville?
And which year?
This was 2000.
2000? That would have been probably West Valley City.
Wow. What is it now?
Now I would say it's probably the area known as South Jordan, West Jordan, maybe possibly. I mean, the fastest growing city is the town I live in, Eagle Mountain, which is another 20 minutes south of that. But probably Yeah, probably West Jordan, if that's what they're calling it. But that's all split up since, so it's different now. There's been a lot of change in 10 years. But West Valley's still a beast. It's a huge, huge, sprawling suburb for sure.
Very nice.
Look at you. Perfect score.
Wow.
Not bad.
Salt Lake City is, as you should.
Well, I always talk a lot of talk about how, you know, much I like it here and people should come visit. But then I think it's probably good that I know at least know some of this stuff. So
no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go hop into some tech.
Technology.
All right.
I just put this in because Jay is an awesome videographer. So he can edit the crap out of some video. I would love for you all to see so a family friend got married and they asked us if we would tape it. I think she was just expecting, you know, raw stuff, you know, but he edited it. He spliced stuff together. He brought in like music and piped it in so that it would sound better.
Right.
He put it, and made scenes out of it. So, he's doing good. And, I wouldn't mind having that as a side business, maybe one day.
It's funny because, my boss, I was telling him about it. He's like, you can do this on the side. And it's like, if we do it on the side, it means April through October, our Saturdays
would
be taken.
We would never get a Saturday off. And wouldn't be able to go to Nerdtacular. Oh, no. Okay, I changed my mind. I don't want to do it.
So you do this a lot too, Scott. I mean, because I know you talked about having a DJ at, you know, your kids, you know, a kid's party or
sure.
and stuff like that. And it's fun doing those side things like that, you know, where, you know, you might be editing some video for somebody and, you know, but I mean, I'm not like at, you know, Scott Johnson creativity level, you know?
No, that stuff's real fun. I mean, basically, my daughter's trying to become a wedding / engagement / graduation style photographer to make
awesome.
Extra money while she's in college, and she's good enough to do it. It's more of an issue of like, well, you know, how do you fit it all in and make sure it jives with your class schedule and all that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there's so many tools and so many hands now that, you know, if you're even remotely good at stuff, you'll find people who want it. Like that's one of the beauty. I mean, my whole thing is based on that, really.
Right.
You know, I'm just taking it to whatever end I can take it. But, you know, being able to have the avenues I have online have changed everything. And it's really changed it just not just for me and a few handful of people. It's really changed it for anybody who wants to create content.
It has.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys are doing it right now. This show we're on here. This wouldn't have been possible 15 years ago.
No, it's not.
And as I said before the show, we have a Mac in the house now.
Nice.
And it's kind of it was given to me. So it's kind of like, there's no welcome to your new Mac, and this is how you go about
all
doing
that stuff.
Sounds
good.
I was like, okay.
I have to say, well, I'm biased against the Mac because my dad has a Mac. My dad's Mac is how old, Jay?
He got one of the first Power PCs.
Yeah. It's
way back.
Wait a minute.
And yeah, he's always asking us to come over and fix it. But we aren't Mac people, so we get frustrated, and it's all bad. So I think I'm biased against Mac.
Yeah, you're probably a little biased. I'm a huge fan of Macs and of OS X specifically as an operating system. But there are enough small differences that if you've never played with one, it can kind of throw you off. But what's funny is, most of the things Windows does that people are used to were lifted from Macs. They were at least concepts that started on Macs in the first place. You know, copy and paste, alt tabbing, just lots of sort of things that came from there anyway. So for me to make the transition back and forth was never a hard one, but I could see how, you know, if you bring one into a household where they're just not used to it, it can, you know, throw you off a little bit, but
right.
I don't know. Once you get the hang of it, you know, I love Windows for what Windows does for me best, which is let me play really great video games on PCs. But I will prefer using a Mac interface just about any day of the week. I just feel like they've got a better UI. They've got a better handle on how people want to use their devices, and artists benefit from that sort of thing. And I'm a little biased in that direction because there's so many tools and applications and methods and things that are very Mac specific, or at least started on Macs and are very well rooted on the Mac, that just make my life a lot easier.
Right.
Yeah, whatever. They all, this stuff can live together, man. I got my PC over there humming away, downloading a new game right now. I can't wait to go freaking play it.
Yep. So, and then, also today, I think this was the first official rumors that I heard today was there's going to be an announcement for the new iPhone on the 12th of September.
Yep.
And then the potential date release that people are speculating is September 21st. And I tell you, man,
this is bad for us. And we're
our family, we're going to be broke September.
So broke.
Yeah, it's going to be, well, I mean, long time coming. Five should be huge.
Right.
Because expect it to be bigger. Pretty stoked.
Because we got our iPhone 4's day of release. So yeah. We actually got the day before when they shipped. It was really weird. But I got it on my birthday, which was June 23rd, which was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, but September is going to be Borderlands 2.
Dragon Con.
Mr. Pandaria.
Guild Wars 2.
Well, Guild Wars is August.
It's August? Okay.
Well, it's the end of August.
It's the end of August.
But so we already paid for that.
But still, I'm counting that.
And then, and then the iPhone.
It's that, I don't know how we're going to do it, but something has to give. I think it'd be Borderlands.
Yeah, we may have to wait on Borderlands 2 because we both got the collector's edition.
That game, dude.
That game is so much fun. Yeah. Oh, so much fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might find a way. But I'm excited about the new iPhone. You have the iPhone 4S, right?
I do. I'm a big idiot, and I upgrade every year, no matter what they do.
Yeah.
they've enabled me because AT&T, they normally have 2 year contracts, right? You can't do anything until your 2 years are up. Well, because I'm on a family plan with three kids on the plan, they don't have iPhones, but they're on, you know, smaller phones or whatever, but it's part of the larger family, you know, minute sharing plan. They will let us do it every year. And so by letting me do that, they have enabled my problem.
But see, you just pass it down to the next kid, right?
Well, in my case, no. Well, in Taylor's case, yes. We got her an iPhone because she's old enough, but the other two aren't getting them until they're like 17 or older. Okay. Mainly because they'd lose them. They break them. It's not worth it. Smartphones should not. I am a firm believer in this. And until they get cheap enough where I don't care, putting a $300 device in the hands of a 12-year-old is just asking for trouble. And I don't want to carry data plans on those. So they just get cheap, crappy throwaway phones for the younger kids. But the 5 looks like, if the rumors are true anyway, it looks like we're probably going to get a 4-inch screen, a thinner device.
Mm-hmm.
Like it'll be awesome. I'm 100% sure it'll be great.
Yeah. So. We're so ready for an upgrade. So
Man. It's time for sure. I even feel that way, and I've only had this 4S for less than a year now. So.
Well, that's cool, man. So I just want to go ahead and hop on into a little bit of media.
Media.
Guess what we didn't do this past weekend?
We didn't watch our movie. Hey, but we were doing a surprise party. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Right. So that's kind of been what's been going on. So this is part of the show, Scott, if you haven't listened, is we roll randomly some dice to find out in our queue what we're supposed to watch for the week. And I have a conspiracy theory that I think you all listen to our show.
This is his theory.
To get your to get your movies for film.
It was a couple of times where when we drew, that was the movie you all watched that week.
That's weird. No, I can tell you. You want to know our process? This is literally the truth. This is all we do. We every once in a while we'll hop on Netflix, see what new stuff has come in, dig through the horror section because we like it in there.
Uh-huh.
But we'll also look at other stuff, action adventure. We're looking for old nostalgic things that came out in the '80s or whatever.
Right.
And it's literally that random. We're like, oh, that Rumpelstiltskin looks fun. Let's get that.
So
we really don't do anything special.
There's a website that you may not heard about. It's called QUP.TV. Basically what it does, it emails you every day the new stuff that comes on Netflix. It syncs up to your Netflix and you receive emails of new releases on Netflix all the time. So I get a daily email every day of what's new showing up on Netflix.
Which is cool. Most of it's crap, but every now and then I get some I recognize.
Right.
Well, that's what I like. See, I'm all about, you know, show me the crap. Even if it's something I've never seen. We just did Frogs, for example.
Right.
For FilmSack. And oh man, what a festering turd that thing is. But it's perfect for our show.
Right.
And so we don't even recommend outside the show anybody watch that thing. But if you're going to, if you're listening to FilmSack and you enjoy the, what we're doing with FilmSack, it's just about the perfect movie. So we're always on the hunt for, yep, for the garbage.
Well, this week we're supposed to watch Food Inc., which is a documentary which we normally love, but we were so busy. I heard it, once you watch this movie, you have a hard time eating beef again. But
it is terrifying, that movie. Yeah. I watched it. I actually put it off forever because I was afraid of what I would see, and it was, and the rumors were right. That thing will shock you into, the thing is, it's kind of temporary though. Like, I got, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what they do to beef and this and that and the other and the four other things. And then about a week and a half later, I'm at Five Guys chowing down the burger.
Yeah, I want a burger.
Do they show the pink slime?
They do. They get into the pink slime. You know what's actually pretty good about the documentary? I think it is Food Inc. Yeah. I think. They are really level-handed with the coverage, so it's not like super sensational or trying to make a big deal out of it.
Right.
They're just giving you the facts, and that's what I found so frightening about it.
Yeah. Right.
Is they weren't trying to coerce me. They were just showing it as it was, and that was enough. I was like, oh, man. Yep. Rough stuff.
So this week, we're going to roll. Oop, that did not count. Okay,
what we got?
Four, so it's a 194. So go to the last one in the list. Please don't let it be horrible. Please don't let it be horrible.
African American Lives. Wait a minute, is that a?
That's a document. No,
is that the one with the episodes?
That's the one you've already seen. Yep. So we said we weren't going to do one that.
The Messenger.
The Messenger.
An injured U.S. soldier is paired with a by-the-book captain to notify families of their loss. A job that bonds them even when they're at odds. Has Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster.
Oh. Okay. That sounds really sad, but maybe I'll watch some Breaking Bad to get me out of that. Oh, I heard you were watching that. I'm going to talk about this.
Breaking Bad? Yeah. Oh, I freaking love it.
Yeah, we're on season four. I know
so
you aren't there yet.
I just started four.
Oh, you just started four?
Yeah, I just watched. I won't give anything away, but I just watched. I just saw the true face of Gus.
Yes.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I don't even know what to think about it yet, because that's where I ended. I haven't gone to episode two yet.
It was so funny. The first time I saw him on the show, I had seen him in the show
Once Upon a Time.
Uh-huh. He was the
man in the mirror.
He was the magic mirror on the wall. That was his character. So I see him here and I'm like, okay, that's not what I was expecting.
Yeah, it was a weird disconnect. Such an insidiously awesome portrayal, and he's so
good.
That show, dude, I don't know. It's the kind of thing that sometimes you're repulsed by what you're seeing. And then sometimes you just cannot believe how amazing it is. Like, I don't know. I've never seen a TV show quite like it. And I don't know if we will very soon, ever again. It's really pretty special in that way.
And sometimes they go for it. They really go for it. Whoa.
Now, I have to ask, Hank, Walt's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Bronco a lot.
Yeah, me too. I can totally see that.
Yep. See, Bronco? I'm telling you,
it's not just the way. We're not saying you look like that dude,
right?
We're saying you are kind of that
manly man,
badass. Yeah, he's a manly.
You are a badass, yeah,
yeah,
like a true badass. Like you are not really afraid of anything. Although that show's interesting in how they deal with that part of his personality.
Yeah, it is.
I know it's not that simple with him, but still, take season one, season two, Hank, and that's basically Bronco.
Yeah. And it's so funny when he was. This is not really a spoiler because they don't.
Maybe.
Nobody gonna say it.
Okay.
But when he's sitting with his nephew, and his nephew was like, "Why are you telling me?" And he was like, "Cause I love you, you bastard."
Yeah. It was in the first season, and they were sitting in the car. Right. Remember that part? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that is so Bronco."
But there are just a few moments, no spoilers. But there was you guys know the moment, the heroin moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
That is such a heartbreaker. I still to this day.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah. It was really hard to watch, and it was also just so many emotions that it was so convoluted and so many motivations and so many things going on that were both right choices given the circumstances,
yep, but
terrible choices because you got yourself to that place, and nobody's hands are clean, but there became like a purity to that scene in a weird way for me.
Yeah, it was.
And I don't even, I've never, a TV show has never done that to me.
Yeah, it was crazy. It just, This show is just great. And so we're recording season 5.
So
while it's going, yeah. So by the time we get done with season 4,
we just jump right into
we'll be able
five.
To watch season 5.
Mm-hmm. Which, so I'm excited.
Which is the last season. And I'm curious to see how they're going to end it.
Yep.
And they say Gus gets more heat.
Gus?
No. You see it? Well, I was told today by a coworker, he saw an episode last night in season 4 that he was like, his views of Gus just totally changed.
Oh, I can't wait to see
and
what
I was like, really? And he was like, and because he got spoiled from AMC because he was watching AMC and he saw a commercial and he thought it was just a non-descriptive, but he got spoiled about something in season 5.
See, that's why.
And he said it made sense to him what's going on now.
Okay.
So I was like,
I'm excited to see what it cool. is.
You know who I love, by the way, is Mike. The guy that used to be a cop is now working for Gus.
Oh, yes. He is awesome.
I love
him. He's great.
He gets better.
I love him. He's Jay's husband, not you, Jay, but Jay from Modern Family's, not husband, Jay's brother on Modern Family as well. That guy, that actor's just awesome.
Is that really?
That's his brother?
Same guy. The guy that has cancer and came back to see Jay and, you know.
Oh,
wow.
He's also, if anyone remembers a show in the 80s called Wise Guys, it's about kind of a witness protection program thing. Really? He was the government rep that like dealt with the main character, and he was great in that too. He's just he's phenomenal. Everything he's in is good.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, he's good. I really like him.
The way they open season 4 with him going to that that chemical factory.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, dude. I was just like, this show, I don't know what you're going to do to me this season, but
I'm
ready. Let's do it.
That was awesome.
And speaking of that, we have a Breaking Bad tie-in. We actually did watch a movie this week. It was Food Inc. We watched Larry Crown.
Have you seen that?
No. What is Larry Crown?
It's with Tom Hanks.
Julia Roberts.
She's so sexy.
It has Pam.
I know you don't like her, Scott. Whatever, man.
She's all right.
She has a horse face. I know you
she does, but no, Sarah Jessica Parker's got the new crown. She's
It also has Pam Grier, Cedric the Entertainer, and it has Bryan Cranston, star of Breaking Bad.
We recorded this on HBO before we got rid of it.
Because we had it for Game of Thrones.
You guys do that every year, just kind of sign up.
Yeah. Because there's like a special going on, so we'll get it and we'll get like 2 months free or something.
And then we have to pay for 1 month.
And then we're done.
That's awesome that you guys did that.
But so, we recorded some movies. We recorded what's the
Gladiator
and the Kurt Russell Breakdown.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Renee's never seen it, so I was like, you got to see this.
Yeah. So it's kind of a romantic comedy, but it's not your average one. I think it's really good.
It was really good.
It's one of Tom Hanks's movies. He based it on a friend of his, actually. It's about a guy who loses his job at U-Mart and goes back to school.
Interesting. U-Mart.
Not too bad. And Bryan Cranston, totally different character from Walt. Let's just say that. It was shocking.
I still haven't gotten over the difference between Bryan Cranston and Breaking Bad and Bryan Cranston on Malcolm in the Middle. I mean, it's just such a
How come I didn't know that?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Love that
you guys
show.
Didn't know that. He's also the weird dentist on Seinfeld, if you ever watch the old Seinfeld episodes.
This is crazy.
That was so him.
I never looked him up.
I am slow.
I thought he was some dude. This is his first show.
Oh,
wow. I never
That's why people were blown away by him. They're like, holy crap, that's the Malcolm in the Middle dad, and he's doing this? Like, holy schmacko.
I used to love that show.
We never paid attention.
It never clicked for me.
It didn't for me either. I was just...
Thanks, Scott. So you learned something.
He's a whole new dude in this, for sure.
Yeah, everybody's getting on us in the chat room because we didn't know.
You didn't know? They're like, no, I didn't know.
This is the one show we haven't IMDb'd a lot because... We didn't want to get spoiled because that's happened before as well.
If you
go and you see that such and such person's in all 59 episodes, or if they're in 32, then you're like, oh man, he's dying in two. He's dying in 2 seasons. And so basically, what I did was that I went to another show, which is Once Upon a Time, and looked up Gus to see because I didn't want to know what happened. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why we didn't know because we didn't IMDb. We try not to look IMDb.
Yep.
And then Gus got a Academy or an Emmy nomination, I think, didn't he?
Best
supporting
or
something.
Dude, I'm telling you, we try not to look up too much on the internet because I got spoiled on Luther. when I followed Luther on Facebook, the BBC show. Yeah. And I was like, okay, that's it. I'm not following Luther. I'm not following Breaking Bad on Twitter. I'm not doing any of that stuff because I do not, I don't go into Get Glue and check in like I used to on these shows because somebody will be talking about the most recent episode. And I'm like, no.
Plus the poster they used to promote season 5 is kind of a spoiler in its own right. I don't even know what it's spoiling yet, but I think I have an idea.
I haven't really paid attention.
Or is it the one on Netflix?
We try our hardest.
It's the one on, it's not on Netflix. It's currently like IMDb. So avoid that if you don't want to see it.
Okay. Okay. Good. So yeah, we haven't been spoiled. Yep. Then also, Scott, I have to ask, man. I mean, I may have brought this up a couple of times before, but what's up, man? When you going to do Friday on, Film Sack?
Friday? What this? But oh, the movie Friday.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, Friday. Like this Friday.
This Friday. Oh, we're doing
that thing keeps coming up. The problem. Here's the problem. We don't like to do straight up comedies. Because I don't think they're not self serious enough. Which always doesn't. Okay, long term self seriousness in movies always turns into campy schlock about 10 years later.
Okay.
There's no way around it. The problem with Fridays is it holds up.
Because I was going to say, Scott, if you need a black person to be on the show so you can talk like you really want to talk, I'll volunteer. I mean, Randy's close enough already. You
know? I mean, we may make a couple of exceptions. Whatever. He's more Mexican than black anyway.
That is true.
But if you pick like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good example. Like we were thinking about doing Harlem Nights. That's a
good one. That one holds up.
It holds up, but it's also sackable. There's an aspect to it that works for the show.
It is sackable.
And we'll do that where it makes sense. Like some people are like, well, how could you do Breakfast Club? That movie not only holds up, but it's still relevant. It's still all this and it's still really well done. And they're not wrong. That is. It's a fantastic movie. But something about it and our desire to get a John Hughes movie in there and all that stuff just added up to a feeling right. So we do make the decision based on how we feel it fitting as a Film Sack show. And Fridays just doesn't feel that way yet.
Well, you could.
It doesn't mean we never do. It just right now, it just doesn't.
You could do the second or the third one, man, because those are horrible.
Yeah, anything past one and two, right?
Two was the downfall, but the first one was the best one in my book.
But yeah, nah, I still haven't even seen it. That's my problem. I got to watch it.
What, the second one?
Yeah.
You have. Yeah.
I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one.
Yeah, the second one. I mean, it was all right. I went to the movies to see it, but I wished I hadn't.
Was Ice Cube in all of them?
Yeah.
He kept doing it then.
He was such a hardcore rapper, and now he's doing children's movies.
Yeah,
he's changed. But he's like Ice-T, although Ice-T still kind of has a little bit of an edge. But really, he's not so much. He's just he's an aging old fart with a weird-looking wife.
Yes. You know, she looks the same as she did when I was 13, 12.
Plastic.
Yeah. I remember, waiting for that to start going bad. I think Brian Ibbett on the TMS made a really good comment about plastic surgery, or maybe it was Film Sack. Actually, it was. It's an episode we haven't aired yet. Or maybe it was last night's. Maybe it was Frogs. But anyway, he says, take a balloon, nice fresh balloon, fill it with helium.
Yeah.
Put a piece of tape on it. And then let that balloon have its natural cycle and it will start wrinkling up.
Right.
It will quit floating. It will fall to the ground. It'll start looking like grandma's, you know, left hip. And then, but that tape will stay there and still look like tape.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with plastic surgery. Because you're going to start to look like there's an old person under there and it's all a bunch of weird tape on the top.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in that. I can't stand. I think plastic surgery is a terrible idea. And I always find some aging actress. Let's take Jessica Tandy. Let's take who played the queen?
What's the queen's name? You know her.
Which queen?
The movie The Queen. She's famous. Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Take her. Take Jane. Judy Dench. Take any of these. They all happen to be British, but take these women or any dudes like that. Like take I don't know, Morgan Freeman.
Right.
None of these people have plastic surgery.
Right.
They've grown old gracefully. It's almost like the decision not to makes them more attractive to me.
Right.
And I respect that. I think it's awesome. I want them all to look like Andy Griffith by the time they're 85, and hats off to them. If they're all going to look like Joan Rivers, who looks like, you know, a dip cone at freaking, freaking Dairy Queen, you know, I can't say anything. That's just hideous. I cannot stand it.
Looks a mess. But yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. So congratulations on, making the prediction of winning Miss Pandaria.
Oh yeah, congratulations on that.
Congratulations to
you. Beat out Scott. You beat out Terpstra and Dills.
Yeah, those punks.
That's awesome. But I still play. I don't raid anymore. My raiding group fell apart, which I'm really sad about. But I am excited for Miss. I'm trying to get my paladin to do the lore masters in the main continents, because I know I'm not going to be paying any attention when I play a panda when this comes out. But I'm really excited about it, and I know some people, but they've changed so much about the game. It's not just about pandas. It's like so much other stuff in there, and I'm excited about it.
And I went from raiding all the time, like, you know, Renee's talking about, to here's how it is when I play. I log in, I get on one of my mounts, and I fly around Ogamar and talk to people, because I'm scared to go out of Ogamar, because I'm like, what do I do? I mean, because I'm really waiting for Mist, because one, all my character slots are filled.
Yep.
And then I played Cowboy was my main, and then I leveled a Hunter up to 85, which is called Kabui. But when Mist comes out, I'm thinking of switching my main over to a Monk, which would be a Panda Monk, because I've always wanted to play a Monk. Now, I'm really excited about it. I wish at some point that we could buy extra character slots, because I don't want to roll on another server, you know?
Right.
So that's right now, that's kind of most of what I'm doing. I just log in and sit in the city and talk to people on my real ID.
That's about where I'm at with it. I don't, we have a raid team still. It was pretty spotty when we actually are all there. It's this cycle. It's where we are. It's where it always is right around now before a new expansion. We're all just sort of waiting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about Miss more than I have been previous expansions. Probably not been this excited since Lich King.
Yeah, Lich King has been my favorite expansion, you know.
Yeah, and this is a lot like Lich King as far as how big it is, how much more there is to do right off the bat, how much longer those levels are going to take compared to Cataclysm. Like, this is more like Lich than it's ever been, and that's exciting to me. I'm pretty pumped about it.
Me too. And so the offline game that I had to play when our internet went out was Fallout 3.
Mm.
And to get out of the starting area, it took me maybe a good hour, because I explore everything, every little thing, and it's going to take me like 10 years to finish this game.
Which would be the same for Skyrim.
Yeah. I'm still done with Skyrim.
Because you still keep doing all the side quests.
See, Skyrim, I want to do the side quest before the main quest, but I keep getting the side quests. So I see where this is going. But Fallout 3 was still really fun. So that was a game I played when we had no internet, and I probably won't play it again until the internet goes out.
You know what's funny is that's what the post-apocalyptic future in Fallout is, when the power goes out. So,
and I'm telling you, man, I don't know what happens if you know if your cable gets cut off, you don't pay your cable bill, and you have all these games on Steam. You know, I wish I'm just saying, because everything I wanted to play was on Steam. I couldn't play Tropical 4. I couldn't even play,
you could play it, I think.
No, I
tried. Yeah, a bunch of them you can.
Okay, so what?
Not all of them. It used to be all. Like, it locked you out of everything unless I had this connection. That's no longer the case. I think it's a game by game basis.
I know what happened then, because there was an update, and it was trying to do an update when I launched it then. So that's probably what it was then. Yeah. Okay, because I was worried.
Depends on the game, but yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, cool. Let's go ahead and jump into some food.
The fridge is not prepared.
I heard that voice before.
Oh, so meta now.
Very.
Okay.
So we're excited to hear that Geek Food is coming back. I really enjoyed it when in his audio, and then I enjoyed it even more when it was video.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to what you all, you know, plan on doing with it. I don't recall, but was there a date yet, or you want to talk about that a bit?
No, there's not a date yet, but it's partially dependent on Well, we got to get back from Vegas first, but there's just a couple things we got to get through with. One is get my daughter off to college safely, get all that done and taken care of, and then we'll kick it in. So if I had to guess, this is just a guess, but if I had to guess, probably late August sometime.
Nice.
So soon, you know, within the next 30 days is the plan.
Oh, and thinking about it, while I'm thinking about, because that made me think about video. Since I'm done with my the anniversary party and the wedding, I don't know if I said this last show, but I bought Alan Wake and
that game
and some other scary games.
Scared me to death. I couldn't do it.
So what I'm going to be doing is videoing myself playing it. So it's going to be.
And he's freaked out by these games.
I am freaked out. I'm very much like you on these games. Like when I played, I started playing some of Amnesia like the first 3 minutes and I had my headphones on. And then by the time of the end of the 3 minutes, about a minute in, I had my headphones on top of my head with the sound turned up real loud so they wouldn't be on my ears.
Oh, man. Yeah, that game, I can't even go near Amnesia. Just the idea of it makes me anxious. I'm not good with the... I don't mind scary movies. That's the funny thing.
I know.
They don't bother me a bit, but scary video games, can't do it.
Yep.
I don't know why. There's something about interacting when you're in a movie, you're just passively there, but when you're actually moving around in that place, oh, dude.
Yeah. And then...
We just wanted to mention two of our favorite places we started counting, watching what we eat and everything. There's this deli called Stevens and Stevens. Oh, it's so good. They have all the calories on their menu, and they have salads and soups and, sandwiches, and so freaking good. And the people there are really nice. So that's one of our favorite places. So if anybody's ever here, go and visit Stevens and Stevens. It's off of Brownstown Road.
And we'll drop a link in the, dropping a link now in
and
there.
Also, weirdly, Panera Bread has some, it's like, you can get a lot for your calorie buck there. Mm. A lot of people wouldn't know that, but they have a lot of low calorie options, and I'm on a Panera Bread kick.
Yeah. So, you know, and speaking of counting my calories and stuff like that, just a weight loss update. I am down 15.6 pounds and you are down
14.6.
So we are, you know, after we started this on July 1st. So 29 days later.
I know, 14 pounds down. Yay. Yep.
So I should be over 30 pounds.
I'll be a skinny person next Nartacular.
Yep.
We'll see. So,
I hope I am too.
All right. So you have any food stuff, Scott, you want to talk about? I know you have this one recipe that you do.
Weird eggs?
Yes. Tell me about that, because I was asking Renee about it. I remember
it's really not very technical, but I can tell you what I do. And my kids love it. They always have since they're little. So I go, like when they have a birthday, the tradition is we make breakfast and bring it to them in bed. It's just what we do in the house.
Oh, while you're recording.
Well, depends. Kim brings it to me all the time, but weird eggs work like this. You take two eggs, you crack them, put them in a bowl, scramble it up. Then you get some kind of cheese that can turn super hard, like, what's the kind I just used? And I can't remember the name of it. The stuff you put on pizza?
Oh, mozzarella.
Mozzarella cheese. So it's kind of hard. It kind of will get all like a hard shell a little bit. You cover that egg, and you can put other things in there, like a bunch of pepper and some whatever. But the main goal is to cover that thing in a dome of cheese so that no air can get out, right? Then you put it in the microwave. This is how lame this is. It's in the microwave. You put it in the microwave and you cook it for a minute and a half. Depends on the microwave and how powerful it is. What will happen if you've done it right is it will create this biodome shell on top of your eggs of cheese that kind of rises up from the pressure and then kind of stays there. If you've done your job right, when you take it out, you should be able to poke it with a fork and it will explode.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So I've done it before where like I'm getting a little too close to it. I'll poke it just barely with a fork and it'll just go pock, and it'll like spatter on my glasses and go up and hit the ceiling and just be little bits and flecks of egg will be in weird places for like a week. And for whatever reason, my kids just love that. So it's not even about are the eggs any good. It's more about
the poverty.
Can we blow that thing up and not destroy the house? You know?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is great.
All right. So hop into a little bit of odds and ends.
Odds and ends. friends.
And
you know, that was given to us generously by Johnny Feisty himself.
Yeah,
I could tell. I recognize the voice.
Yeah. So we have some birthdays this week. We have a lot of birthdays this week.
Yes.
Mashup Man, who is his birthday is today.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he actually interviewed me for one of the Geek Ladies interviews, and that'll be up shortly. So happy birthday. And I saw him earlier. I didn't say happy birthday. I'll have to send him an email saying happy birthday. Yep. Scott's co-host and dear friend, Brian Ibbitt's birthday is Tuesday.
Yeah, it is.
Happy hey. Early
Thursday,
birthday.
Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
Oh, I think it's Thursday.
His Facebook
that's
said
what he,
Tuesday.
That's what he told me.
Okay.
Really?
His Facebook said Tuesday.
He needs Thursday this week, so not tomorrow, but it'll be.
Oh, he needs
yeah.
to change.
He
his
needs
Facebook.
Fix his Facebook.
Well, yeah, happy Thursday birthday, Brian.
You have anything? Yeah. You have anything planned for him?
Me? No. Oh. Well, maybe. I don't know. I haven't decided. He's not really big on that.
Oh yeah.
And I'm terrible at it, so it's a perfect
combination. That works out great.
That works out great. You both have. There's no pressure.
Okay. Yeah, but maybe something. We may have a little surprise.
I mean, dude, for my birthday, you threw me a giant party with a bunch of nerds.
I know,
right? That was perfect. Great. And you were so impressed, you forgot what you were saying when you stood up to have it.
Everybody always remembers that, like the time JJ choked.
Just yep, wait till the DVD comes out. It'll be forever burned in everybody's mind.
Yeah.
Nice.
Our friend Bellaroo has a birthday on Tuesday.
Happy birthday, Bellaroo.
And Scott's raid member. Scott is all up. Is all up in this these birthdays. His birthday is on Friday.
Yeah, happy, Dark Anders, right?
Yep.
Happy Anders. Early birthday, Dark Anders.
Matt is good people. He is one of my awesome. Favorite locals. He lives right here in, it's like 20 minutes from me is all, 15 minutes maybe. Yeah. And he's awesome.
He's awesome. He came by Friday and hung out with myself and Brandon, OML. And we went riding out, and he actually D&D'd with us, and we went to a couple of D&D shops, and it was just good hanging out.
He is one of the reasons I love coming up there, because I get to see him.
Right. Yeah, he's a good man.
Yep. Yes.
And then lastly, but not leastly, Ralph's birthday is on Saturday.
Oh, Ralph.
Yeah. And we actually get to see him in a month for Dragon Con.
Oh yeah, that's right. He is
a month or two. Yeah, so we get to see him. So
now,
that's exciting.
Now, is the rumor true that you might be making it to Dragon Con?
There's still some possibility. The problem we're running into right now is after this Vegas trip, just quite honestly, the money's a little tight.
Yeah.
And it's I mostly because my daughter's going off to college and we got so much crap to
pay for. Oh, my gosh. You're going to buy so much stuff for her room.
Yeah. Books and crap.
Have you started to buy stuff yet?
Yeah. There's a bunch of that going on. And she's doing her part as well as best she can, but it's just, you know, it's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Trust me.
So it's still, we're still on the fence. It's not 100% that it's not
totally
happening, but it may not. If it doesn't, I know Dunaway will be there. Tom and Veronica will be there.
Right.
That's awesome.
Ibbitt might be there. There's a lot of other mites and Dunaway will be there for sure. So.
Yeah. And then,
and Nicole and Mark are going.
Sweet,
cool.
Sweet.
Yeah,
cool.
They'll be there.
Sweet. Tree's last day.
There's a tree in our front yard.
Oh, that is right.
And do you know that, what is it called?
It's a generator.
Yeah. We have one right in our front yard, and the tree is pushing against it. It's pushed it up. How many inches about?
It's probably like a 9 to 10 degree angle.
Yeah. And the tree's pushed it so much that, and we just moved in March. So when we saw it, we're like, have you tried to cut that down? We asked the owner, and he said,
we tried to get LG&E to come out, but they wouldn't touch it.
So Jay called again, and they said they're going to come cut it down.
They're like, oh, is this JJ Valentine? Sure, we'll cut it down for you.
Yeah, they know who you are.
So one of our shade trees is going away, but that's okay. We still have two more, but that's less leaves we have to break up in the
nature
hall.
Will get you, dude. You got to watch out.
Yeah.
And screw you over.
And this came up earlier
on Twitter when we were talking about black people don't ski. So someone asked why is it a rumor or why is there a stereotype that
black people
don't swim? Well, black Americans, let's
black
rephrase
Americans,
it.
Yeah.
Black Americans don't swim, and it is the BBC actually did a research on it. And
really?
I didn't know this was a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and really it is, there is a stigma, there is a some truth to it. And so,
really?
Yeah.
I got these black neighbors right across the street who we love. They're awesome and they're really cool and they have a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. They're always swimming.
See, yeah. And that's now, good.
Yeah. It doesn't apply to everybody. Right. But this comes from, a lot of times black, areas, they didn't have pools and right. they weren't like allowed in the white pools and, because
so, yeah, it kind of goes back to
their parents didn't swim. Their parents didn't teach their kids, and it goes kind
of
like that.
Yeah, it goes back to
a culture of not swimming.
Yeah. Right. So it goes back to 1920s when they didn't have access to pools. You know, because back then they didn't have access to pools and everything, and then people kind of getting drowned and stuff like that if they were to swim in rivers. And then what would happen? Your parent, a lot of times if you see kids that can't swim. A lot of times their parent doesn't swim and it just keeps going back and back. And there's some people that just like, I don't want to mess up my hair,
Which is silly.
Yeah.
It's best to learn how to swim to save your life than to not mess up your hair. But anyway, but I remember, and Jay remembers this too. We were the only black kids in our class when we were learning how to swim.
Well, it didn't help that I was born in, Mount Airy, which was, Andy Griffin's
it was mostly,
hometown.
White people anyway, but in my area, I was the only black person. It's like, and I was 4 or 5. I learned how to swim. It's a really important skill. And we have a article linked in the show notes for those of you all who want to learn more about that.
Yeah. So if you're black and you listen to the show and you haven't taught your kids to swim, you should do it.
Yeah, go for it.
It's important.
It's important. I mean, because Renee was talking about, she didn't know that her dad didn't know how to swim. He knows enough to save himself, but she said that explained why when she and her sisters would swim,
we were at the beach, he would get frantic if we got out what he thought was too far. And now it makes sense because he would freak out come on back in. And we weren't even that far. But now I understand that he wouldn't be able to save us.
Right.
We were drowning. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So,
right. Interesting.
That's why he freaked out.
Right.
And I found a link earlier. It was just randomly I found it. This is the best link ever. It's called explainxkcd.com. I love XKCD, but sometimes I don't get the jokes that they're heavy, heavy math or science based. This website takes every comic every day and explains it for you. Love it. And so I put a link in the show notes and I actually went back and looked at some of the ones I didn't get. I was like, oh, now I get it. So, yeah, and they have comments if the guy is a little confused too. So, I'm going to be using that every day. And, also, this is a link that you've been talking about, Scott, and Veronica first linked it. It's the Olympic diving funny faces.
Those are awesome.
I'm looking at them right now. I didn't get to look at them at work.
They're great.
They're hilarious. And yeah, I have that in the show notes. That's just good for a laugh.
That's stuff you never see. Because they're so fast, but when you get a high-speed camera on those faces, man.
My favorite's the very last one, I think.
Oh, goodness.
My favorite's the girl with the face, just that pinched face. She's just looking awesome. Like she's going to just explode. Well, they're all great, though.
Yeah.
What a great bunch of stuff.
So have we talked about the new Steve Schleicher thing before?
Munchkinland
one?
No, oh, we can make on. That.
Here we go.
Okay.
Podcast of the week.
All right.
That voice too. That's weird.
Hey,
guy,
so go ahead. Well, I'm gonna let you do this, Scott, since it's a big news day for Frog Pants.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. So Steven Schleicher, friend of the programs, friend of Frog Pants, obviously for a very long time, really great guy. He's got a number of shows that he produces, and along with his site Major Spoilers, and one of them that's been one of my favorites has been Critical Hit, and that's been on the Frog Pants network for a while, and they just recently decided to branch some of that similar format, that's a D&D show, into playing the card game Munchkin and its various expansions and variations and whatnot. And that same crew, so it's Steven and Rodrigo and the rest, they all get together and they play this, and once a month they record a session and they put it up on a new podcast called Munchkin Land. And that show's, 3 episodes in, it's been out there and rolling around. But he and I have been talking since the beginning about putting it on the network and getting some of that expanded audience exposed to it. And so that's what we did. So today we officially announced it. You can see the full press release at frogpants.com and the new album art and that I did for
art.
Them and some other stuff.
The art's great. I just
saw
it.
You know, when I saw it, I was like, I should get Scott to do ours.
No. Yeah, Oh, don't say that.
But I was like, I'm not, don't say that. He'll be okay. Not you,
I might,
Scott.
I might could do some little something. The only downside, or the only scary part of saying this is, yeah, Jay and Renee asked me, of course I'm going to do theirs. No. But then all these people listening.
Yeah, they're like, oh, no. Scott,
I know what I'm going to do. That may just be me turning down people who don't have time. But
no, man. I mean, it's all that big check that we write you every time.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Huge money. I need it. Keep that coming. That helps me with my meth habit. I should just move down there, and then you guys, there's meth there, right? There's lots of meth.
Hey, have you ever thought about? Have you ever thought about if what's his name in Justified? Harlan.
Raylan Givens.
What if Raylan Givens and I forgot Walt.
Well, they were like, they like had a crossover.
Yeah, man, they should do like an Alien versus Predator type thing. Breaking Bad versus
Walt versus Raylan.
That's a weird crossover. Weird. It actually could work.
Oh, goodness.
They, they used to do that. They'd have like, I don't know, they'd have like Michael Knight would show up in a Hulk episode.
They should like do like a mashup video like thing and have like little clips from both.
That would be cool.
I would watch that. Yeah.
All right. So guess what? We had some people that
contact us. Damn it.
Yes.
We did.
Yes, we did.
Awesome.
So, when's the last time you heard all these, Scott?
Oh, I've heard your show a couple times, and so I'm familiar with where you're using them. But I forgot that one was awesome, that one's on there.
All right. So we had a good friend of the show, Sam, wrote in and said, "Hey guys, long time listener, first time writer. First off, I love the show. You two are so entertaining. Secondly, can I say a public thank you to Mr. and Mrs. OMF, Lisa and Nora, and anyone else I'm sure I'm forgetting. I've been having a really rough month, and they have all been very supportive and quick with the virtual hugs. I appreciate it more than I can tell. And lastly, I heard a rumor that Mr. Scott Johnson is going to be on your show tomorrow. If this is true, could you just tell him that he is awesome and I love everything he does. Love you guys." And she is in the chat room, Scott. So if you want to say hi.
Give me her name again. Give me the name.
Sam.
Well, hello, Sam. Can Sam hear me?
Yes,
she can hear you.
Sam, you're the greatest. And thanks. That was very nice of you to say. It's always nice to hear people say nice things like that, but I always have to come back with, this is all nothing and dumb without good people. So I owe her thanks as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's a very sweet person. I love her.
Yep, she is. She definitely is. And
if you want to be like Sam and email us, you can reach us by email at thevalentinecast@gmail.com. You can also see our blog at valentinecast. And the podcast Twitter feed is valentinecast.
You can also call us. Our number is 415-75-VCAST. That's 415-758-2278. If you'd like to watch the live video, or if you just like to catch up on the past videos, you can do so at youtube.com/valentinecast. My Twitter feed is The Cowboy, and Renee's Twitter feed is The Ice Flow. And Scott, how can these lovely people that don't know you, if they want to just start following you all of a sudden, how can they reach you?
Well, Jay, I'm glad you asked. Here's what people will want to do. I'll do an announcer voice, all right?
All right.
All right, cool.
Maybe I won't.
No.
What you can do is follow me on Twitter. You can follow everything I've got going on at Scott Johnson on Twitter, one word. You can also go to the website. All the Frog Pants stuff is there, links to every show, every other kind of thing we're doing, all found at frogpants.com. And what else? That's probably good. Check out the morning show. I think that's the place where most people would love to find a little entry point. That kind of spreads out to everything else. So
the morning stream
that there at frogpants.com.
Oh, the morning
well.
Stream. Freaking love the morning
stream.
Yeah,
the morning stream is awesome.
Yeah. One of my favorite things I've ever done.
That's cool, man. We really enjoyed it. And there was something I was going to ask you. I can't remember. Now I'm drawing one of those blanks again.
Oh, you're doing that thing again. It's like I got a microphone. I'm standing up there talking to you.
Oh, what'd you do? What?
I was going to ask Scott something.
Oh, well, you're supposed to write stuff down. This is why we have show notes. What? This is why I write stuff down in the show notes, because I know I'm going to forget.
No, it came up when he was talking about
too
that
late.
Stuff.
Too late. You should have typed it.
No, but we have like two more minutes on the song.
Well, we're not going to sit here talking for two more minutes.
You sure?
Well, here, think about it. Think really, really hard. Think really super, super
jar
hard.
My memory, Scott.
Well, how's he going to jar
Repeat
your
what
me-
you said. No, I'm playing.
He's crazy. No,
thank you so much for your time,
thank you,
man.
Thank you,
well,
thank
it was a blast,
you
guys. You're two awesome parts of this bigger community, and I'm honored to have been on. Thanks for having me.
I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to ask next to get on the show.
We've had Buxley on, we've had Jeff on, we've had two of my sisters on,
and we had Alagi on.
We had Alagi on, Strumpet on. Strumpet. So
we gotta get Jeppy on here for one.
Jeppy, yes, you are next, Jeppy.
And then we know we're gonna have Reggie and Dana on.
Yep.
They're the best too. Yeah. Y'all ought to get Ibbit on. He'll do it.
Yeah, yep. I gotta get a hold of Brian. When he's not recording, man, he's like a recording machine.
Yeah, that's true. He's on
busy dude.
He's on show 1,205.
Yeah. But he would love it. He would totally do that for you guys.
Awesome.
Well, cool. All right, are you gonna hang on to the afterwards, or are you gonna hop off now?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I'm funny you should say that. My kids just yelled at me and said dinner's here.
Oh, all right. Perfect.
So I'm going to roll. I'm going to bounce, as they say, the kids say today.
Bounce with it.
And I'll talk to you guys soon. And we'll mention the show tomorrow on TMS. Let people know that I was on and they can check the show out.
All right. Okay. Thanks, man. Cool. We'll talk
right,
to you later.
Scott. Talk to you later.
Y'all are the
bye.
Best. We'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Contact us, damn it!